hard one. Let's get out of these questions.
You can do the first one.
Stop coughing.
How would you go about getting more of your demographic following you on Instagram?
Follow more of your demographic, especially if you're working out of a gym. Follow more of your demographic. Collaborate more with your clients that you have within your business. So you're getting in front of their audience, so their friends who are similar to them. Make sure that you are absolutely creating content that's very specific for that audience, so people are more likely to like it, comment it on it, share it, to help you get in front of more of that audience. Be direct in terms of maybe getting a competition out there. So say, for example, you do a competition for coaching, and it's very much you're direct to the audience that you want to fill out, let's say a survey, or you want to enter the competition. So then more traffic comes to your website off the back of that competition. Yeah, they will be my four biggest points. You want to get in front of your clients' audience as much as you can, because they should be your fans. If your service and coaching is decent, then they should shout and scream about you. And actually, when you, even if it's like you're coaching them through an exercise, you collaborate with them on Instagram as you put that content out, and that sticks you in front of their audience quite a bit. You can do a hell of a lot of that. But for me, putting time in your day to potentially, if it is a priority of yours, putting time in your day to follow your audience, comment on their stuff, and get in front of more people in that way. But they're my top four things. Anything you'd add, Nick?
Nope.
I can't think of anything else. I really wanted it to be five tips then. I could have just turned that into a post, but it wasn't. It was four.
It's like the algorithm of Instagram, isn't it? You got to put five on.
It's three or five, isn't it? Let's be honest. It can't be four. Morning, Sam. Morning, Sam. That was very formal, wasn't it, of me? Right, next question. Should we make posts where we actually sell coaching and be super direct?
Should we make posts where we actually sell coaching?
What happens here is, like, I ask the question, you fucking listen, and then you answer the question. Why are you reading it again?
Do you want to tone your language down a little bit?
Tone your tone down. Yeah, but it's not tone, is it? It's not tone.
It is.
No, it's not tone.
It is. You okay now? You had your little paddy. You all right?
Tone. It's fat loss and muscle building, actually. It's not tone.
You're right.
Come on.
Do you want to sit down? Yeah. No.
I don't want to sit down, actually.
Short answer, yes, but context behind that is similar to what we were saying. I think it was Sam last night, is being direct and in regards to your calls to action, the best result off the back of that is to earn the right to do so. And what I mean by that is providing what you all know is providing lots of value, providing relevant value to the audience, and engaging with the audience. So you're having conversations. So it's almost like when you get to the point where you are being more direct in your calls to action for your business, whether you're selling and selling your coaching, you're almost got some people in mind that you're speaking to indirectly through that post or through that story or whatnot, because you've had those conversations off the back of the content you provided. So absolutely, 100%. But remember what precedes that is those typical words is consistency, frequency, value, and engagement, conversations, basically. Anything you'd add, Anthony?
Nah, I just don't think you've got the right to be direct unless you haven't been that stuff that you just said. So that's all I would say.
What are your best tips for retention as we move into the last quarter of the year?
First and foremost, don't assume whether clients are doing really well or they're not doing really well with the inputs, in terms of the daily inputs that they need to do to get to where they want to be. Don't assume. So I would absolutely find a way to, how can you challenge yourself to understand more about your clients, and give them time away from, if you're an in-person PT, the sessions. If you're an online coach, give them potentially a little bit more time away from the check-in. I think that's really important. With that understanding them, I would also dig into the common barriers and challenges that people have going into the last quarter of the year. So for example, it gets colder, it gets darker, there is less levels of motivation to want to be active. All of that type of stuff. As you get into December, clearly there's more distractions. So how can you, as the coach, make sure that you're being proactive instead of reactive with your clients? So again, it's understanding them, meeting them where they're at, and having an opportunity to either sit down next to them or over Zoom or whatever and hash this stuff out. So basically plan to overcome them barriers and challenges and dips in motivation and adherence. And that is genuinely all I would say. I wouldn't be putting interventions in place that just are blankets for everyone in terms of everyone gets a monthly review, everyone gets a new call. I would be reaching out to each of my clients and treating them as individuals. I think that's really, really important. So I personally feel that at the end of the day, you all should be doing that as coaches anyway, regardless of time of the year or anything like that. You should relentlessly understand your client. You should know when they dip in motivation. There should be plans in place before that happens. To answer the question, they would be my main priorities from a retention perspective. And then you might want to put something on to enhance that sense of belonging where you bring your community together. I think that always helps as well for some people. They would be my main tips. Anything you'd add?
Not really. I mean, I think you should be doing nothing above and beyond of what you've been doing all year. That's one of the biggest kind of thoughts I have here. I think it's like anything, when people enjoy it, they feel connected to you, they feel like they're getting value. And remember, that's not just value in the money they're spending, it's the time they're spending, it's the effort they're putting in. So, and one of the big things around that is to be super, super aligned with your client. Like you said, is not having expectations which aren't their expectations. And if you're not doing that, or if you feel like there's a disconnect, or if you're really self-reflecting and there's a disconnect, then retention could probably be an issue because you're moving in two different directions. That's all I'd add.
Yeah, and usually retention is an issue. For me, what I see is a trend within the industry when you've got too many clients and you try to deal with too many people, so then you can't meet the individual where they're at. So, and this is just for everyone, it's not for the person answering, the person who's asked the question. Like, really, inside your business, if you've had quite a few people leave you over the past couple of months and that has triggered issues around retention, like dig into why. Was there too many people in your business at that point so you couldn't meet them where they're at? I think it's really important for you to recognize. Next question.
Is that me or you?
No, it's my turn. What is a service trial if it's not a taster session?
Good question. A taster session is a service trial, first of all. I think that the commonality of taster sessions is just that it is presented as a taster session. The question above where was it? about being direct when you're selling coaching or being super direct. If you walk up to someone and offer them a taser session, likely odds that they're going to say no is a high likelihood. If they say yes, the turnout rate is not great. And if they turn up, they haven't actually got, and they spend half an hour with you, that isn't enough generally, not just to sell, but to have full understanding of value of the service you provide and what they need, and also rapport built up with you. So as an example, I'm not saying taster sessions don't sell, because they did, and I did them for years when I first started. But when that person comes into the business after after 30 minutes time with you, that's it. And they're excited, they're driven. Usually what happens is, more often than not, they tend to pick the lowest option you provide, because they don't have enough value. And secondly, when they do come into your business, the lack of understanding that you have on them, the lack of rapport built up, usually means that after around 3 or 4 weeks, adherence starts to become a massive issue. So that's just kind of generally what happens in taste session. I'm generalizing there. So I would, and taster sessions are very common. They're very, very common, which is good because people understand what they are. But on the same term, it's not good because they don't get a full understanding and taste and experience of your service, whether that's away from the gym, whether that's building up enough rapport with you, by that you being able to deliver a decent one without any real context behind it. So it is, but if you are a coach who wants to sell sessions and that's it, go for your life on taste sessions. If you're a coach that wants to sell a service, provide a great overall service for your clients and deliver results, a high level of success and results, then I would reframe it and build context before you position that. So hopefully that makes sense. Anything you'd add?
No. Next question, please, sir.
What daily indicators can I use and track when just looking to maintain client base instead of growing it?
Okay. I think first of all, it's inappropriate my phone sound to go off for a message.
Very inappropriate.
I really apologize about that.
I'm going to have to edit this now.
What with a cow noise?
Yeah.
I think first of all, don't neglect your marketing. I'm not saying this for the person who's asked the question, because I know you won't, but I think this is for anyone else listening or watching back. Like, when you are at a point where you don't necessarily need to take on more clients, which is a great place to be, don't neglect your marketing. So I would still have a daily input towards your marketing on your kind of daily indicators and stuff like that. But otherwise, apart from that, I would probably look at any individual communication to clients. So that might be a point. So say, for example, I've got Nick in my business. Nick's currently struggling. He's got loads of projects on for work and all of that. And I know this, and it might be a distraction. There might be, if me and Nick have had a chat and Nick's gone, you know what, every other day, just give us a bit of a message to make sure I do X and Y. So there might be a bit of individual client communication. I think it makes, you've got a really good opportunity to really engage in a consistent way your client group. So if you've got a Facebook community, maybe it's something that you're going to do in there that stays. I think that's important as well. So that would be definitely something that you would do. From that sense, I would also, from a business perspective, it might be that you're still going to be posting, aren't you? So the social media stuff and getting your face to camera, although it's marketing, you would still want to be ticking them boxes off in the best way possible. So there's two or three things that I would focus on. What else? Any individual admin-based stuff. So, for example, if you get towards a Friday and you're going to do your business weekly check-in for us and you're scheduling for the following week off the back of that business weekly check-in, then that would be on your Friday list, for example. Yeah, there's always going to be individual kind of KPI and daily indicators that that are going to lead towards your goal that aren't just marketing and sales based. Because if you were to get into the nitty gritty of this and start marking off your client satisfaction, so for example, like a TripAdvisor rating and stuff like that, or like, for example, we know gyms use NPS, right? It's a marker of your business of satisfaction. So if you're going in and doing your client communication, you're then doing your group communication, you're then making sure that there is anything else that you're working on. So whether that is your marketing, whether that's your tracking, whether that's your scheduling, they're all indicators and daily tasks that would be sufficient, in my opinion, to keep control of the business. That still tick the marketing box, still tick the admin box, still tick the service box, and so on. Anything you'd add?
No.
I think when you're doing this as well, it's always keep in the back of your mind. And I know it's strange because when you do your daily, when you do your daily inputs for any personal trainer, normally the main focus that we put on, because we want and need more clients, because we want and need more revenue, and we need accountability on marketing and sales because we don't really enjoy it. When you do them, it's always very marketing and sales heavy. But actually what should really happen is there still should be a mix of admin and service. So we always say that SAS, which is sales, admin and service, that should be present in the majority of your days. So if you've got 3-4 inputs that you're going to put into marketing and sales and you're doing that now, it probably still should be that individual client communication on a set day and that group communication and individual tasks. So there's always going to be about probably 5 or 6 things that tick the box of sales, admin and service every day. They would be the stuff that I would focus on. Last question. It's a big question, this. And just by looking at the question, I can tell exactly who's asked it.
Yep.
Tips on how to improve the service for people who are poor at logging workouts, communicating, giving you info around their nutrition, etc. I'm looking at this from the angle that I need to switch up an area of my coaching, fair play, rather than them being non-adherent. Cheers, plebs. Now you know who it is.
Yeah. It's not adherence, but okay.
That was a very smart little way of putting it there, wasn't it, eh? Do you know what I mean? Turning into them one of them fit pro dicks who answers sarcastically.
What have you got a bet on the wrong side today?
What's the matter? Come on, answer a question.
No. Do you want to talk about anything then? You're okay.
No, I'm all right, actually.
All right.
No.
I'm just gonna go forward in regards to logging workouts. First of all, I think on all of this, generate client feedback. I think that's the first point of call for it. So, you know, it could be something really, really simple. It could be the way they receive the workouts. It could be the length of time it's taking them. It could be the exercise selection doesn't work for them at the time they go into the gym because it's busy and they, you know, have got to set up a lot of kit. It might not be externally or intrinsically motivating what they're doing in the gym. So again, you could sense check that. So I think the first thing is like, really don't take all the assumption away from, right, I've written them a good workout, they should be doing it. Like, seek to understand how that workout's gone. And before you go forward and doing that, build on the level of psychological safety they have on you. Like, make it a really safe place for them to say, well, actually, this isn't, you know, I wasn't sure about this. Or I don't enjoy that, or this didn't work for me. Like, build that relationship first, because the hardest position to be in is just to throw out a survey or get some feedback and they don't feel safe enough to say, hey, this just didn't work for me, because all you'll get back is a pat on the back and you won't have anything to do. You won't be able to do anything with it. So that's the first thing I would say. Communicating again, What are your expectations on people communicating with you? Is it quick? Is it easy? If communicating is through typically things like check-ins, is it really specific to the person? Is it too long? Are they getting constructive feedback? So they get value from the check-in? Is the window that they're checking in with, time window they're checking in, is it, does it suit their needs? Is it, et cetera, et cetera. So again, I would seek to get feedback off the back of that. And giving you info around their nutrition, which is probably going to be the check-ins. So I think take all assumptions away, seek to understand your clients, but before you do so, create psychological safety. And I think a way you would probably do that is, I think a simple way is to align like what they're thinking and feeling about their workouts and how they check in and their nutrition with the way that you do as well. So you've got a kind of simple foundation to move forward on. So yeah, that's what I'd say, because it is non-adherent, but that's what I'd say, seek to understand first. Anything you'd add?
No, I don't think so. I stopped listening to you after a bit. So I didn't listen.
And here's someone who had a little bit of a pop that I wasn't listening to him, huh?
No, I think a lot of the time it comes back to they don't know the how and why, as stupid as that may sound to people. So if that's what Nick just said, I'll just echo what he said. So yeah, it's just spending a little bit longer with maybe helping them understand why that is beneficial for them, and also on the flip side of it, how they can use it, and actually if that fits into their life. So I would just get them to self-reflect on potentially what might benefit them moving forward to get a result, and lead them back to that issue of what, for example, they're not tracking, they're not logging workouts, they're not doing that, because then it might be the penny drops. And this, honestly, 90% of the time when that happens, the penny normally drops and goes, ah, now I get why that's there once you've done that. I had a client this morning who's a bit like this, and sometimes you just need to go around the houses to get them to go, ah, now I see the benefit of that. Frustrating process, but that is people, isn't it, Nick? That is people. Yes. Tis people. Any more questions? Are we all good?
No, I think on the group there is nada.
Fantastic. Listen. I hope you all have a great week, a great day. What's your final thoughts, Nick? Show everyone your dog. I know everyone on the podcast can't see the dog. Come on. Show everyone the dog, man.
Wait.
Show everyone the dog. Look at that. Look at that.
When you ever meet Anthony, you're going to look kill.
don't hold it like that. Fucking, what are you doing?
Fucking kill.
Yeah, if anyone's watching this on the podcast or listening to it.
See the teeth, see the fangs.
Listening to this on the podcast, you think you're mauling her? Bastard. What a dog that is, eh? Brilliant. Listen, have a belting day, everyone. See you soon.
See you later.
Bye-bye.